nice to be back. Oh, Stans. You doesn't sound too happy to be back. Is it nice to be back? Those of you that went to go look for the sun on the other side, it's nice to have you back, hey? We're landing the plane on Ephesians, and just what a powerful journey we had. I'm not going to reiterate what other guys have said before, but what a powerful journey that Paul is taking us through. Some people said that the letter of Ephesians, it's actually the most important letter for the New Testament church today, and that we can dig in and fly right into it. Amen. So I'm landing this plane basically on 3 points. When I read through the last passage of his scripture, there's 3 things that stood out for me: to be strong in the Lord, to be clothed with Christ, and to be prayerful. But when we read this last chapter of Ephesians 6, we think of the armor of God. That's all we think of. And for some, it might be a so far misquoted or misconception about the armor. But for others, we grew up reciting it, memorizing it, putting it on before we walk out of the door. But for me, it's simply the clothing of Christ on myself. So when I was a little kid, we used to make these cardboard boxes and put the stick in it, and it will be our shield. And then we would roll up another one, and it would be our sword. And then we would fight in the streets with these things. For some of you, you might have made, I don't know if they're doing it at the kids' church today, but for some, they made like these little armor paper cuts in Sunday school. But I grew up making these little cardboard armors. And so when we grew a little older, the fight got more heavier. So then we made ourselves like these little gladiator armors. So then the knees was patched, the arms, and we would roll up and we would beat each other as hard as we can. But as I grew up and as I grew older, the warfare started to become more real. And it was then no longer play, play, play. And then it was real gang fights in the streets. So the little paper armor didn't work for me anymore. So we had, I don't know if you guys can still remember the metal drums. Now they have the wheelie bins. But before the wheelie bins, they had the little metal drums. And with the lid on, that lid was my shield. So I had something like that for my shield. And what we would call a panga or machete in the other hand, or a knife. And then there would be bricks throwing and everything. And it was a real fight. It was no longer paper clips and paper boards and cardboard boxes and stuff like that. And as I got more older and the fight started, got more intense, and the fight was more real, and there was no longer pangas and knives and bricks and stuff, and people were starting to pull out guns. And at one stage, it was so real that I had to wear an armor vest with a plate in front and a plate at the back. Now you could imagine this skinny kid that has no meat on his bones running around with this big vest because of fear of dying. And all this stuff we do to kind of like protect ourselves, to kind of like cover up ourselves. But Jesus says, he that tries to save his own life will lose his life in the end. But he that willingly lays down his life for me will gain life and life abundantly. And as I grew older and I had my back against the wall and I willingly laid down my life for Christ, he didn't give me a little cardboard armor or a little metal drumstick or a bulletproof vest to wear. He then gave me His armor. Not just an armor that I read in Ephesians 6, but God gave me His armor. He took off of Himself and He gave that to me. And now, we become unstoppable for the enemy. Not that we become immune to the effects of this world and to the onslaughts of the enemy, but the Bible says that now our life is hidden in Christ in God. Amen. Ephesians 6, powerful letter. Paul comes and Paul prays for us. He prays for us. He says, the warfare is real. This battle that you're in, it's real. It's not just about going to church. It's not just about living as a Christian on a Sunday. But it's real. Every day we need to be clothed with Him. John 15 says we need to be plugged into Him. And as we read the book of Ephesians from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 6, you will see Paul in every piece of the letter, he says, stay in Christ. Be in Him. Be in Christ. Because this armor is not just something that I can pick up and strap on. I don't think a bulletproof vest will fit me anymore. But it's not just something that we will put on. But this armor of God fits each and every one of us perfectly. Irrespective of where you are. Whether you just came to Christ, whether you've been with Him all along, He clothes you every time with more of Him. And Paul encourages us, stay in Christ. Stay in Christ. This first two verses, for me in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul goes on and says, finally, after he's encouraged us to be strong, after he encourages us to what it be in the Lord, after he encourages that we are saved by faith and by grace alone, after he encourages us what it means to operate in the family and bring the gospel into a family, after Paul has taught us all the basic things of living in Christ, he says, finally, my brothers and sisters, my family, my church, I want you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not strong in your own capabilities. Not strong in your own strength. Not strong in your own wisdom and your own experience and your own learnings, but be strong in the Lord. It made me think of King David. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David was in these battles all the time. He was warfaring. His life was a warfare since he was a kid. He went through from battle after battle after battle. Whether he was slaying bears or whether he was slaying giants, David was a warrior king. But after coming out of one of his crusades, he came back home to his city and his place where they lived their families. And when they came back there, they saw all the town was burned to the ground and it was just smoke. And all the wives and all the children were taken away. His family was taken captive by the enemy. How do we sometimes feel that when the enemy can't get to us, they take our families captive? Our kids end up in drugs or they go the wrong way. Our husbands and wives end up in addictions and go the wrong way. David's family was taken captive. And not just his family, but all the families, all the wives and all the children of all the other men. And the Bible said that they wept. Verse 4 says, they wept bitterly. They wept to a point that there was nothing in them anymore to weep and to cry out to God anymore. And they were, when they were exhausted of weeping and crying, they turned to David and they wanted to stone him. because we were following you. And how this happened to our family. But David had a response. The Bible says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. When all fell down, when he lost his job and his title and his family and everything else, he strengthened himself in the Lord. When he was on his knees and there was no more friends to have his back, he strengthened himself in the Lord. Where there were no worship songs playing in the background, David strengthened himself in the Lord. He went down in his knees and in his closet and he strengthened himself in the Lord. That's why Paul comes and he gives us this command. It's not just an invite, but it's a command. He says, be ye strong in the Lord. Makes me think of Joshua. And the Lord brought the Israelites out of slavery, and Joshua was leading the people, and God knew exactly the enemies that Joshua was going to fight. And in the first book of Joshua, God is talking to Joshua. God is encouraging him, be strong. And in just 9 verses, God tells Joshua about 4 or 5 times to be strong. And finally in verse 9, God says, haven't I commanded you to be strong and very courageous? Paul is coming with the same command to be strong. To be strong in the Lord, even if it feels like you are at your weakest, even if it feels like you are at your lowest moment in life, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Because something is coming. I had one friend ask me one time, and he gave his life to the Lord, surrendered his life to the Lord, very good businessman. He asked myself, why is it going so bad now? It went better when I was on the other side and I was having parties week after week. Why now that I gave my life over to the Lord, it feels like it's going down? That's why Paul encourages us, be strong in the Lord. Not in your own strength. He goes on and he says, put on the whole armor of God. Not just a piece of the armor, but the whole armor of God. Listen to what he says. He says, he was taking the Roman armor. He was taking out of these pictures. But he wasn't saying put on the Roman armor. He wasn't saying put on the pastor's armor. He wasn't saying put on your wife's armor. He was saying put on the armor of God. We see what happened to David when David went to go fight the giant and they wanted to give him the king's armor, but the king's armor didn't fit him because it was the wrong armor for him. Sometimes we run to other things other than the Lord, but the God wants us to come to him, to seek our strength in him so that we can be clothed with him. Put on the armor of the Lord that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. People, if you don't know it, I want to tell you today that the devil has schemes. You might think it's just bad business people or just bad relationship people, but the enemy has schemes. Paul is warning us against these schemes. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. All through my years growing up, I thought that my fight was against flesh and blood. All through the years when I saw my neighbor in the street and we didn't carry the same tattoos, I saw him as an enemy. But my fight was never against flesh and blood, but it was against the principalities and the powers that didn't just want to destroy his life, but wanted to destroy my life as well. Paul is warning us against these schemes. Not just once, Not just twice, but multiple times Paul is warning us against the schemes of the enemy. Put on the whole armor of God. No human being is able to stand alone against the powers of the darkness. In your own strength, you will not be able to make it. I can guarantee you that because I have tried multiple times to save myself, and every time I lost myself. Up until I had no more place to turn to but to the Lord. We need to put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Secondly, I wanted you to say to be clothed in Jesus. When I read about what Paul was saying about the armor of God, and all these years I was thinking Paul was talking about these Roman soldiers, and he was looking at them and he was talking about this armor. But then I went a little deeper and I saw that this armor wasn't adopted from the Roman soldier, but the armor was adopted from God Himself. And in Isaiah chapter 59, we see God coming to a rebellious nation, a rebellious people. He looks at them, and the Bible says that He was clothed with righteousness as a breastplate and salvation as a helmet. So the armor that we're receiving isn't our own armor, but the armor that God is giving us is His own armor. Isn't that powerful to think about? But Paul comes and he takes it a little deeper. He comes and he says, secure yourself with a belt of truth. He could have used any piece of the armor, but he started to talk about the truth first. He says, secure yourself with truth as a belt. Because the belt was having every piece of armor in place. It was carrying the heavy breastplate. It was a place for the sword. It was a place for the shield. It was putting everything in place. Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the way. And I am the life. He says, no man goes to the Father except through me. I am the truth that will set you free. Maybe we've been bogged down and pulled down by the schemes and the lies of the enemy. Maybe we can't go forward because these lies are stuck in our heads since we were a little kid and we were told you're not good enough. You're not loved. You're not the right skin color. You don't wear the right clothes. You don't fit into this crew. There's so many lies that has pulled us away from having an encounter with God. Jesus comes and He says, I am truth. And I want you to clothe you with myself, with the truth of the Scripture and the Word of God. What are you clothing yourself with today? Where is truth finding its place in your life? I can't tell you how many times I've been slowed down or pulled back because I have believed the lies of the enemy. Truth is not just a social conduct or a narrative or a feeling. Truth is a person, and His name is Jesus Christ. And from His own lips He says, I am the way. He's a person. The next piece of armor we say, it talks about put on the righteousness as a breastplate. Cover your heart with righteousness. You see, sometimes we do stuff and behaviors and stuff, and the world out there is constantly pulling us away from righteousness, from living in the right standing of God. It's so easy to compromise, and then we find ourselves going into an unrighteous way of doing things, of saying things and our behavior. But God is calling us back to righteousness. He says, I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. He is our righteousness. Righteousness is not a concept, it's a person. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And again in 1 John 2, He says, My little children, I am writing to you these things so that you may not sin. But that if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the righteousness that we need to clothe ourselves. And Paul is making a statement here. He says that even though you have sinned, and even though you have moved away from God, we have an advocate that is advocating on our behalf before the Father to pull us back and bring us back into alignment and into the righteousness of God. This whole armor is clothing ourselves with more of Him. And Paul goes further and he says, put on the shoes of peace. Another way to say it is that put on the shoes of the readiness of the peace which comes through the gospel. And this peace is not our own peace that we put on. But the Bible calls Him the Prince of Peace. We're living in a chaotic world. Isaiah says that darkness are all over the world and God's darkness are over the people. But Jesus comes and He says, I'm the Prince of Peace. A friend of mine that's no longer here with us, he told Tertia, he said to Tertia, your husband is 95% calmness and 5% human. And I always tell people, it's not that the other things doesn't bother me. It's because I've made peace my weapon. That I need to walk in peace every day. And Jesus comes and He says, put on peace. Because it is through that peace that enables us that we can go out and make the Prince of Peace known to the world. People that are fighting and that are warring, you understand, within themselves, we're bringing peace through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul comes and he says, take up the shield of faith. Now this shield of faith that Paul was seeing on the Roman soldiers was this massive shield. When one would lift up the shield, it could easily hide two or three people under that shield of faith. They would lock shields when they would come together and the enemy would attack. And that's why it's so important for us as a family to stand together when we raise up our shields of faith, when a brother and a sister are too weak or they have fallen, that we could lift up our shields of faith and that we could quench every fiery dart of the enemy that might not just come to us, but we can lift up our shields of faith over our whole family. We need to take up these shields of faith. Not these cardboard boxer. But these shields of faith made me think of the design of Shaka Zulu. He came up with this big shield that he could hide underneath. And it made him very victorious in the battlefield. We need to take up this shield of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the confidence of things and the assurance of things not seen. Faith is that confidence in things that we cannot see yet. That when we lift up faith, we have trust in God that He will perform His word, even though we haven't seen it manifest in the physical realm yet. We have faith that He will perform His word. That He is a truth maker of His word. If we have faith in Christ, this will influence the way we live. Our faith can guard us during a time of crisis. Paul says then, put on the helmet of salvation. Salvation, rescue, deliverance, these are our helmet. Put on the helmet of salvation. The cry of the psalmist King David in Psalm 18, he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, in whom is my salvation. My salvation is not in myself, but my salvation, my deliverance is in God. Before Pierre ended off, he was praying that God could deliver some of us. That some of us that are still in bondage and are battling to get out of the way and are, like David said, that the court of death entangles us, God is our deliverer. He is our salvation. And we need to put on salvation around our heads because it's sometimes the first place of attack of the enemy. He attacks our thought life. And before we fall in the flesh, we fall here. In the thoughts. And the Bible says, as a man thinks, so he will become. But we need to dress ourselves with the helmet of salvation. And then Paul comes and he says, put on the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, while we were praying this morning in our intercession, I saw this massive angel with this massive long sword. And sometimes we can't see it in the natural. But sometimes spiritually we have these warring angels with us with this massive warfare on. But if I'm clothed with the armor of God, imagine how I look in the spirit. Paul is using these analogies of swords and helmets and stuff like that. He says, take up the sword. In Hebrews chapter 4, Paul says that the sword is like the word of God. It's like a double-edged sword, sharp on every side. It cuts through spirit and soul and bone and marrow and even through the intentions of the thoughts, it cuts right through us. If you haven't been stabbed or shot or something before, church, the Lord will cut you with the sword of the Spirit deeply enough to remove the stuff that hinders us from following Him. Put on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to meditate on the Word day and night. Sometimes we will land up in crises and in moments of weakness where there's no time to open up the Bible and read the scripture and see what does the Lord says and what is all the promises of the Lord. But we need to meditate on this day and night so that it can be engraved on the palm of our hearts so that when the enemy attacks, that we will be ready in every form for battle. That we can say like Jesus said, when the enemy attacks, this says the Lord. This is the word of God because it's engraved on the palm of our hearts. Mostly people think of the armor of having these six pieces. But I think Paul is adding another piece here. And he says, be clothed in prayer. And I love this last part of the scripture. Where Paul says, after you've done everything to stand, after you've put on the whole armor of God, after you've realized that you're in a spiritual warfare, after you have realized that you can't conquer unless you are in the Lord, he says, pray. pray is the last piece of the armor of God. We usually just think of the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God as the only offensive weapon that Paul is describing, but Paul is giving us another offensive weapon, and he says to pray. This is Paul's secret weapon. There was other pieces of armor that the Roman soldier had, but Paul couldn't compare any of the armor of the Roman soldier to the power of prayer. That was like the secret weapon to pray. We cannot overcome unless we pray. We cannot fight and win the battles in our marriage unless we pray. We cannot win the hearts of our children unless we pray and intercede for them. We need to pray. This is Paul's secret weapon. I think if I look at modern warfare today, the Ukrainians or the Russians, they have all the latest tech when it comes to weapons now, and they're starting to use drone warfare. It's like, at first it was like the secret weapon. He'd sent that missile, guided missiles to hit specific targets. And over time, we've heard of how successful it was. And I think if Paul would have used modern warfare, we would have probably said, pray like a drone attack. Pray like a heat-sensitive, missile-guided missile. Pray and be effective. Do not miss your target after you've done everything and you've put on the whole armor of God and you've standed firm. Don't just stand, but pray and be offensive. Because the enemy is not going to wait for you up until you're sleeping. The enemy is going to attack you when you open your eyes and when you close your eyes. This warfare is real. God is calling us to pray. And maybe some of you today might feel vulnerable and you might be thinking, but I'm not clothed in Christ. I don't even have a relationship with Christ. I don't even feel like a warrior. I don't feel like I'm equipped enough. Paul says that we must make intercession and pray for one another. Verses 18 to 20. That we should be a prayerful church. A prayerful people. That we'd not just put on the armor of God and clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ just for ourselves. But we need to gear up for others as well. We need to stand strong for others as well. We need to intercede and pray for others as well. This is a very effective word that Paul is saying. Now that you are rooted in Christ, now go out into the battlefield and pray. Can't we as a church to stand together? Before we're going to pray for one another, and if the Lord has worked in your heart today, and maybe you feel vulnerable and he says, I need to be clothed with Christ. I need Jesus in my life and I need every part of him. I need his salvation for myself because I need to be delivered and I need to be set free. I need his righteousness because I'm so far away and so far outlined without him. I need his truth because I've been believing these lies over my life for so long. I need his peace Because my whole life from the inside out has been a warfare battle. Maybe this is you and you feel totally defeated. I want to ask you, be brave like a warrior and come and stand with us in prayer. We want to pray for you. I want to take this moment and honor this moment. If it is any one of you, please come to the front and we want to minister with you and pray with you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord that took off His own armor to clothe you. Not left you abandoned, but clothe you. And now I want you to turn to one another. And I want you to pray for one another. Make little groups of two, three, and just take a moment and pray for one another. Verse 18, Paul says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. And lastly, he says, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of this gospel. Church, as you're standing in praying for each other, I want you to take this moment as Paul was encouraging the church of Ephesus to pray for them that proclaim the word. Please take this moment and pray for every leader of this church and of this congregation. Whether you don't see them standing here behind the pulpit, or you don't see them behind a guitar or instrument, maybe they're behind finances and books and admin. Pray for every leader that's functioning in this movement. Paul says that we need to honor them and we need to pray for them. Let's just take this moment and pray for our leaders.